We're taking a look at how parents are navigating social media. In the coming weeks, you'll probably see a lot of first day of school pictures from your Facebook friends who happen to be parents. It seems like everyone posts pictures and videos of their kids on social media.
But a growing number of parents are deciding to keep those photos and other references to their kids off of the internet. It's what our next guest calls the baby blackout.
And we want to hear from you. Do you think parents should put pictures of their kids on social media? Why or why not? Are you a parent and do you know one who's struggling with this decision? Call in and let us know at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Aisha Sultan joins us now. She is a syndicated parenting columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Aisha, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Rob.
Well, let's get on the same page here. What is a baby blackout?
Well, it's a funny term, but I think it refers to a growing number of parents who decided they really don't want to have a digital footprint for their child. And so they're not posting any pictures or information about their child on social media and have requested parents, you know, other family members and friends to respect their wishes.
And this is not the norm yet, if my Facebook page is any indication. A lot of people put anywhere from some to an insanely large amount of information and photos of babies on up.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, they're very much so in the minority, as anybody with a Facebook feed could attest to. And you're right. Most parents, and this is the research that I did when I was a fellow at the University of Michigan, looked at parental behaviors and how many parents post pictures or share information, achievements, little tell stories or brag about their kids on Facebook. And definitely the majority say that they do. And that's how they use things like Facebook and Instagram, is to feel connected to other parents and, you know, to share information about their kids.
And it's easy to see why people do that. Most parents like to talk about their kids, show the pictures, whatever. Why the backlash? Why are some parents saying, hey, maybe don't do this so much?
Right. No, that's a great question. And that sort of goes to the heart of the research that I did when I was at Michigan, is that when parents in large numbers started joining social media, they were really the first, their kids were the first generation that were growing up along with the social web, along with having their moments documented in this very public way on Facebook or on YouTube. And so I think it raised, initially, we were just very excited to have a way to connect with family and friends who may not be in our immediate vicinity or we don't have a chance to talk to as often as we like. And then as sort of time went on, I think the conversation about this changed. We saw a lot more high-profile privacy breaches and realized that our information and our data is really not as secure as some of these sites would like you to believe. I think we also saw consequences that children face themselves of poor choices of things that they posted. So we started having this sense of, we don't really know exactly how this information is being used, who's looking at it, and the way this information could be used in the future to make judgments and decisions about our child's life. So I think people became a lot more cautious, and especially over, I'd say, with the conversation about privacy ramping up over the past few years. In the past few years, parents have become a lot more concerned. And I think that's a legitimate, healthy concern to have.
What was it that got you originally interested in this topic of putting kids online?
Well, like you mentioned, I am a parenting columnist, and, you know, just part of the nature of being a reporter is that we love to share great stories. And, you know, of course, as a parent, I think my kids are hilarious. And so I was having a conversation with my child, my son, who was 5 years old at the time, and he said something that I thought, of course, was brilliant. So I reached my computer, and he said to me, "Are you going to put that on Facebook? Because I don't want you to put that, what I just said, on Facebook." And it struck me that even a five-year-old has intellectual property rights. And as a parent, I should respect that. I mean, he's in kindergarten, but at the time he was in kindergarten. But you know what? That was something that he said, and maybe he didn't want the whole world to see it. So for me, that moment really changed the way I looked at how I talked about my kids and shared their information online. Because you know what? We didn't have to grow up with the fear of our parents putting something about us in a permanent record. that would always live out there that other people could see. I mean, they might tell their friends over coffee or at the playground or something, but it wasn't a megaphone that was just permanent like that.
Right. So even a kid who's not savvy enough to think about intellectual property rights, like your five-year-old at the time, can their pictures are out there theoretically 18 years from now and they're in college or they're on a job or something like that. Do they want their diaper pictures to be out there for anybody to find?
Right. And I think it's not even, it doesn't even have to be that far in the future because, you know, kids are much more technically savvy at much younger ages. So even if we put information about them online as toddlers or as, you know, kindergartners, then is that somehow used to market to them when they have their own accounts or in different ways that, you know, we haven't even conceived of yet? Because we know that information is collected and stored and aggregated and sold to somebody for some purpose. You know, it's not just floating out there for free for fun. So I think that... And you know, what's interesting is when people use the choices, the information that we put on social media or on the internet to make decisions about us, I think as consumers and as parents, we have a right to know how that information is being used. And right now, we don't know that.
So for a lot of people, it probably isn't black and white. We're going to put everything online. We're going to put nothing online. How do you see people drawing the lines for themselves on what they post and what family members post?
You're absolutely right. You are 100% right about that. Very few people are on either extreme. And so what people, things that people do, things that I do is I won't use their full names. People sometimes will give their kids nicknames that they refer to them online as, or they won't post pictures that they'll, you know, they'll find ways to perhaps obscure a child's identity if they're going to talk about them. Another thing is that I think at a very young age, you can ask a child their permission. Because essentially, I mean, I would want someone to ask my permission before they posted something about me if it could potentially embarrass me or if it might be something that I didn't want out there. So I think that's just before you post, think twice about would this be something that my child would be as a middle schooler, as a high schooler, something that they would want everybody else to have access to.
Well, that sounds like an interesting teachable moment when you're at the stage where you can ask your kid. You're maybe starting to lay the groundwork for when they are independent operators on social media.
And that happens younger and younger. You know, I mean, that happens at a very young age. So, yeah, absolutely. The younger you start having that conversation, hopefully the savvier and better digital citizens they'll be as they grow up.
Now, what about the idea of, okay, I'm going to post lots of stuff online, but I'm going to set my privacy settings so it only goes out to selected, I don't know, friends and family members. Is that enough of a guarantee that it's really only going to them?
I don't really believe in that. I really honestly don't. I mean, I think there's too many ways to work around that, regardless of how secure you think it is. People can, there are ways around just about any sort of secure privacy setting that you put on your accounts. So I think even if you have your account set up very privately, you should just assume that if this made it out into the greater world wide web, would I be comfortable with it?
Yeah. We're talking to parenting columnist Aisha Sultan about the decision to put our kids on Facebook, to post pictures of the baby, the first day of school, you name it, whether to put them up there or not.
We're taking your calls as well. Do you think it's a good idea for parents to put their kids on social media? Why or why not? What kind of rules do you have in place in your family? Call in and let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email at talk@wpr.org. We're continuing our conversation now with parenting columnist Aisha Sultan about how parents are deciding whether or not to put pictures of their kids on social media.
We're taking your calls now. If you're a parent, how do you decide whether or not to put photos of your child online? What policy goes on in your family? Do you think it's a good idea to put pictures of kids online? Why or why not? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Aisha, where do you see the trends going? I think more and more people over time are using Facebook and other social media. Are more and more people posting photos of their kids, or are you seeing enough people dial back that it's moving the needle?
You know, I think the most interesting changes I've seen is not just people, more and more parents have said, I want a little more control over this. So they're people are thinking about this before they're posting and having conversations about it with their family members before they post. So that isn't, I think that will continue. You'll continue to see more of that. But other interesting things, I think lawmakers are now starting to pay attention to this issue too. Like in California, there's a new law that's going to require online services, websites, or apps that collect identifiable information to remove content that minors have posted if it's requested. Hmm. And that goes into effect next year. And I think you'll start to see more attention, regulatory attention also paid to this issue. We saw some of that also here on a national level, although our laws really don't have much teeth in them. But in terms of how are kids marketed to online, how is their information used, because they're still minors. So that might drive some of this conversation in a different direction. Another interesting thing is that schools now also collect a ton of information digitally about children and use that to make decisions about, you know, their class placement and how they're doing, how they're learning. So we're going to start seeing a lot more discussion and questions about how secure that information is, and does it stay with them forever, and how is that used? Even if it's not part of their grades, it's part of an electronic permanent record. So I think as we see so many things in our society become digital, it's going to raise questions about the whole thing, about the security of it, about who has control over it. I like to think that as consumers, we're going to want greater protection of our information because we are the ones who should own that.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Tim on the line in La Crosse. Tim, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'm really glad you're talking about this. My wife and I have knocked out two kids in the last 2 years, and we're in our late 20s. I'm 27. My wife is 26. And we completely left social media for the fact that we didn't want to share that type of information.
So you...
'Cause a big part of it... Oh, go ahead.
You closed your account completely, Tim?
Oh, completely. Both of them.
I mean, you could have...
And it was more of a...
You could have stayed on and not talked about the kids. You just wanted to go cold turkey and make sure you wouldn't let anything slip there.
Actually, the worst part was family on both sides. We were taking random pictures and posting them that we did not want online.
So how did you ask them not to do that, Tim?
Yes, but they did not listen.
Uh-oh. Well, Tim, thank you so much for that call and for that example. And Aisha, that brings up a great question. Say I'm a parent, I've decided I'm not putting up my kids, I'm not putting up pictures of them on Facebook, but my family is. What's the etiquette there? What's the best way to say, hey, cut it out?
Right. You know, it's funny, Tim, because I sort of found myself in hot water with my own family just a few weeks ago. My sister had a baby, and I was there, and my family's in Texas, and so I was there visiting when the baby was born, and of course I was tremendously excited. I took a picture of my nephew, and I have a private Instagram account, which is like very limited in the sense that it's only limited to like friends and very close family members. And I posted this picture of his baby without using his name or saying anything. And my brother-in-law said to me, and he got very upset. He was like, can you please ask before you post anything? Because I really don't want any information or any pictures of our kids out there that we haven't chosen ourselves to put out there. And so I think what I had to do was, you know, eat some crow and say, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize, and I should have asked first. And, you know, I took the picture down. But I think it was a sort of a wake-up call for me that you really do have to ask permission no matter how close you are. I mean, this is my sister, this is my nephew, and obviously had no ill intent, but I just instinctively, our reaction now is we see something great or we see this beautiful moment is to want to share it. That's become our knee-jerk, instinctive reaction. And you have to check yourself, or someone else will check you. You know? And that's exactly what happened. So I think if you notice that your family is not going to respect your wishes, then you probably are not left with a whole lot of options other than what Tim and his wife decided to do.
Some kind of witness protection program, maybe. Jill on Facebook writes, My dad is extremely privacy conscious and really made me think about posting info about my children online. I gave my children nicknames when I was pregnant, and that's how I still refer to them. I rarely post pictures. When I do, the pictures are usually of them in the distance or their backs or profiles. So nicknames and blurry or distant photos of them. Is that a common solution?
Well, I think it's more common to not want to put your child's full name or very specific. It doesn't make sense to put very specific identifying information like birthdays you should be careful about, schools you definitely want to be careful about, or things that would very easily lead to your child, you know, routines, patterns, teams. I mean, there are plenty of people who do and feel fine and safe doing that, but you always be a little bit aware.
We'll go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Tyler on the line in Lindenhurst. Tyler, hi.
Hello. How are you doing, guys?
Good. What do you think about this?
Me, personally, I don't personally see too big of a problem when it comes to, like, posting pictures of, like, your little baby girl or boy. I mean, my friend personally had a child, and she's posted on Facebook. She's only given a select few people to post it to, and everything's gone well. True, I also agree with, I mean, if you're going to post it to, like, family or friends, they're not going to respect your wishes. If you want privacy, then that should be respected, and if not, don't post it. But also, like they were saying, I honestly feel, because like I'm in high school right now, we use Facebook and social media as a way to just express ourselves and all these great happy moments, and that's really what social media should be. I mean, we don't need to put any more solid just my name is Tyler something something or like any like firm like information on there, like who, nicknames, that should all be fine. But really, people should be able to feel safe about posting pictures or sharing that with their loved ones and or friends.
Tyler, thanks a lot for the call. And Tyler, in high school himself, Aisha, brings up, I guess, the sequel to our conversation. When and how do we take those kids we haven't been posting pictures of and help them make the leap to social media?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, your child is going to encounter this, whether at school or at a much younger age, because this is how a generation is growing up in communicating with one another, and you cannot remove a child from the way their generation communicates. That's just unrealistic. So, I think, and Tyler made a very good point that this is a way to feel connected, and especially when you're a parent and when you sometimes feel very isolated or like you're the only person going through the challenges that you are, it is a way to feel validated. And it is a way to feel like, you know, you get to share something that can be difficult and you can feel supported through social media. So I still share things about my kids for my family's benefit, my friend's benefit, and for my own benefit through social media. So I think there's like you said earlier, there is a middle way between putting out too much and then just having an absolute blackout of information.
Tyler, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Rick with us in Grafton. Rick, hi.
How you doing? Well, I've spent over 30 years in the computer industry. I'm an IT director now, and I specialized in online security and banking for many years, managing an international team. So I'm not going to be popular in what I say, but the reality is parents wouldn't show pictures of their children or have their children in a less than friendly place in a big city. And what they got to realize is internationally, very bad people are out there looking for things. And you have to be aware of this. So in my opinion, teens, for example, need to be watched almost more than a toddler, even a high school student. And with my children, I'm a single father. I let them see what the dangers were there. And at any time, I could audit their Facebook or social media and see who they're being friends with. And my daughter many times was shocked that the person on the other side was not who she thought they were. And then my final thought is when you say friend, make sure it really is a friend. You've interacted with them. They're a friend. You're not doing a popularity thing where you got 500 friends and you really don't know who those people are. Be very conscious of who you're interacting with on Facebook.
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. So Rick's saying whether it's a parent posting or the teenager posting, there are bad people out there. Be careful about that.
I think Rick made an excellent point because no matter what other types of protections that Facebook or other social media might put on their privacy protections, I don't think it replaces parental conversation, parental oversight. That has to start from day one. And that has to continue, you know, even when your children are teenagers and in high school. And I think by having access, letting them know that you have access to their sites, that you can see who they're talking to, who they're interacting with, is really important. And he's doing a great job.
So a lot of back and forth here. What advice would you give to parents who are trying to decide? They're at the starting point. They want to know what should they post on social media about their kids?
Well, I wouldn't post. For me, this is what I've done, is I don't post my kids' names. I try not to post specifically where they go to school. I try to be vague about their ages or their grades sometimes. And I definitely won't use like any specific team names or where they play certain sports or do certain extracurricular activities. I also try to limit the number of pictures I put up of them. And if I do put a picture, like a previous caller just said, I wouldn't feel comfortable posting anything in a bathing suit or anything like that, which could be looked at in a different way by anybody else. And I do. From a very young age, I've asked them if they're okay with me posting anything that I want to put about them on Facebook or on social media. I'll ask them first. So those are the things I've sort of done because I happen to live in a state removed from the rest of my family, and it is hard on a day-to-day basis to not be able to see what your nieces and nephews or, you know, share what's going on in your family with your other family members. So that's the sort of balance I've tried to strike.
Aisha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
That was Aisha Sultan, syndicated parenting columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can keep the conversation going over at the Central Time Facebook page.